Well, we're going to get our Bibles open. If you haven't brought a Bible this morning, please put a hand up and one of our welcome team would love to bring you one. There's one at the back over there, if possible. We're working our way through a portion of Matthew's Gospel. Today we've reached Matthew chapter 7. Nigel, is there any more Bibles at all? One more down there. Thanks very much. We're working our way through a section of Matthew's Gospel together. If you're new to church, new to the Bible, there are four eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the first of those that we have in our Bible, and it charts really the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's a fantastic read. If you haven't read one, I would recommend you go away and do it. But there's a little chunk in the middle. We've got it broken up into chapters for us. But Matthew chapter 5 through to Matthew chapter 7 records the teachings of Jesus as he stands or sits, actually, on a mountain, and he teaches the disciples. And there's a big group of crowds listening in to him as he teaches the disciples. And we've been working our way through this teachings of Jesus on our Sunday mornings, a little bit at a time. And as Tim put it last week, which was quite helpful, but if it's a flight, the flight is on its descent. Okay, we are just on the landing. Jesus is getting to the end of this sermon on this mountain. And we're going to pick it up today. I actually want to read the bit that Tim read last week. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. So that's the big number 7, little number 13. And we're going to read from 13 through to 23. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Well, this is God's word to us today. We're going to think about that together in a few moments, but we're going to sing before we do so. We're going to sing about the firm foundation that God has given us on the pages of the scriptures. So let's stand and let's sing together.
You saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to all who to Jesus for refuge have fled? I have found my foundation. He stands by every promise he's made. Faithful God, never changing, I will stand on the promise of your word. What no eye has seen and no mind has conceived, the that on Jesus has come to rely. They cry out for mercy, he will not deny. That soul the world hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I have found my foundation, who stands by every promise he's made. Faithful God, never changing, I will stand on the promise of your word. I have found my foundation, he stands by every promise he's made. Faithful God, never changing, I will stand on the promise of your word.
Well, if you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to listen in to the teachings of our Lord Jesus. Just let me remind you of our verse for the year, which says, all authority, Jesus is speaking, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, we're listening in this morning to the things that Jesus commands, the things that we should be learning together to obey. So let's seek his help as we do that, and then let's dive into Matthew chapter 7. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus, who is our foundation. Father, thank you that he is the foundation of our salvation. Father, he is our forgiveness. He is our strength. He is our joy. He is our life. He is our hope. And Father, as we gather like this morning, we want to be those who are attentive to the words that fall from his lips. We want to learn from him. We want to hear his wisdom as your Son from heaven. Father, please be teaching us this morning what it looks like to obey his commands, to hear his warnings, and to walk his way. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you, I think, will be aware of the terrible events that took place in Edmonton last weekend. If you hadn't heard of those, it was 5 random stabbings from behind that really left the community just reeling. As lots of you will know, we have lots of friends who live down in that community. And I called one of them up this week and I said to him, well, what kind of impact has it had on the community around you, these terrible events that happened? And he said to me something which really stuck in my head, not least because I was preparing for this. He said, I feel like I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. I'm constantly on the watch out for these dangers that might be behind me. You see, these terrible events, these unexpected attacks last weekend in Edmonton left the community on high alert. It left the community looking out constantly when they were walking from place to place. No one really wants to live in that high state of tension, do they? But that is what happened to the community down there this week. And friends, what I want to say to you this morning, although none of us ever wants to live in that high state of alert, no one ever wants to live life where you're kind of walking around looking over your shoulder. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus this morning, if you would call yourself here a disciple of Jesus, trusting in him, having turned from one way of life where you kind of want nothing to do with God, turning to a life of saying, actually, I need Jesus, I want to walk his way. If you are that this morning, if you are a disciple, then Jesus says there is something that we need to be constantly alert to, constantly on the watch out for, a danger that looms, a danger that threatens our eternal destination. So that's something we should listen up for this morning. So will you look with me, please, at verse 15? Because here is the opening words of what Jesus says this morning. He says two words. Watch out. Disciple, watch out. To watch out is to beware. To watch out is to look over your shoulder. To watch out is to be on high alert because there's a danger looming. Jesus says to us this morning, if you're a disciple, you've got to be looking over your shoulder. You've got to be on the lookout for danger, because there are dangers that prowl around and they are looking to affect you, to change you, to damage your eternal destination. And what is those dangers? What are these dangers that we are to watch out for this morning? Well, the first is this. Jesus lists two, but here is the first. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false prophets. About 5 years ago, I'm sorry to embarrass my wife, but about 5 years ago, my wife bought a pair of shoes from eBay. And, you know, you think, well, that sounds fine, you know, that's a good thing. But here they were, this wonderful pair of shoes online. They were cheaper than they were in the shops. You didn't have to have all the effort of going to the shops. And so all around, it was just a win situation. Cheap shoes, no effort of taking loads of kids to the shops to buy them. And it seemed like a win. And when they arrived, they looked good. They came in the box, had all the badges and the labels. They appeared like the real thing. Same design, same badges. You got them out. But as we looked a bit closer, and as Emma started to wear them around, actually it became clear to us that we'd bought fakes. We'd bought something that claimed to be the real thing, had all the labels on it, but actually they were false. They were fake shoes. The stitching was already coming apart. As you looked a little bit closer, the labels were falling off. We'd been sucked in. We'd been drawn in by these lovely eBay adverts, the nice cost. It all looked nice and easy. And we'd been drawn in and we'd been done. And in a similar way, friends, Jesus says to us this morning, he warns disciples and actually the crowds listening in to what Jesus is saying. He says, you've got to watch out for false prophets, for fakes. We're not watching out for fake eBay shoe sellers, although we probably should. But what we're watching out for is people who sell you a false gospel. A gospel different to the one that you find Jesus teaching on the pages of Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel and the New Testament as a whole. See, look at the first words again of verse 15. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. A prophet in the Bible, if you're not familiar, a prophet is someone who speaks for God with the authority of God. They come as a mouthpiece for God. And like Jesus in this sermon, you see, if you want the kind of the kind of grand picture of a prophet, then it's Jesus, the Jesus we're watching teaching on this mountain. Here he does. He stands as a mouthpiece for God. He stands as the one who teaches what is true on behalf of God. And as we listen in to Jesus, the prophet, the great prophet who speaks for God, we find him teaching how you enter the kingdom, how you become part of God's family. And then you find him teaching how you live as part of God's family. That's what we've spent our time thinking about on Sunday mornings together. Jesus is a prophet, the true prophet, the one who carries the voice of God. A false prophet, which I'm sure you can now work out, is someone who claims to speak for God, who claims to have all the authority of God, and yet they are a fake. They are a scam. They are not from God. They do not tell you the way to be saved. Instead, they proclaim the broad road. They proclaim to you the road that leads to destruction. And Jesus says to those of us who are disciples and to those of us who might consider ourselves more as the crowds listening in today, watch out, be on the lookout, watch over your shoulder, be on high alert for people who are going to teach you a different message to the one that we hear Jesus teaching in the Gospels. Keep alert. Keep alert and look over your shoulder. Why? Well, here's something you need to know. First of all, false teachers are deceptive. Look again at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They come in disguise. Think again about those shoes that we bought from eBay. The pictures on the website looked great. That's probably because they were real shoes in the picture. The pictures that first glance gave the impression that everything was well. And initially, when we first got them and we saw the box and we whipped them out, we thought, well, these look great. These look good. They had the appearance of being okay. And the same can be true of people who teach you a false message. You see, no false teacher walks around with a badge on and says, I'm a fake. Woohoo! That would be a bit obvious, wouldn't it? They will not walk around advertising themselves as a false teacher. No, Jesus says that false prophets, false teachers, people who teach what is contradictory to Jesus, can blend in. They can look like they are part of the church. You see, when Jesus says they come in sheep's clothing, he's not just talking about, you know, a sheep looks all cuddly and innocent, and you know, you wouldn't kind of look at a sheep and go, oh, they're trouble. You'd think, oh, look at that big, fluffy, stupid thing. That's what you'd think, isn't it? But he's not just meaning that. Because actually, sheep in the Bible become the language that Jesus uses and the New Testament goes on to use for disciples of the Lord Jesus. And that makes it a little bit more shocking, doesn't it? Because Jesus is saying that false prophets can look like disciples of Jesus. They come with all the kind of the trimmings to say, yeah, we look like the real thing. But the danger of false teaching can come from within. It can come from inside the church, from people who say, yeah, we're sheep like you. We follow Jesus like you. We're trying to walk the narrow way like you. It can come from people who own the name Christian. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll pop up from within our local church, although we should always be alert. But what it can mean is that within the scene that calls itself Christian, which is very large, isn't it, in our world, there are people who have sheep's clothing, but they are false teachers. They are deceptive. They're in disguise. And Jesus says we watch out for them not only because they're deceptive and they'll come in under the radar, but we've got to watch out for them because they're dangerous. See, look at verse 15 again. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, deceptively in disguise, and inwardly they are ferocious wolves. A ferocious wolf, in case I don't need to spell it out, that's bad news for a sheep. If you are a sheep and you come face to face with a ferocious wolf in a field, that's game over. You become lunch. You become dinner for the wolf pack. And a false prophet, either intentionally or unintentionally, brings great danger to those who listen to them, to those who will lead them, as Armel was reminding us this morning, down the broad road rather than the narrow road, to those who lead people, as it were, to coin a phrase from a song, to the highway to hell. That's what Jesus would be saying. To those, perhaps, who are false teaching, look at where they lead. See, look at verse 19. We're going to come to the stuff in the middle, but just leap down to verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. You see, if you're going to follow a false teacher, where does that path lead you? Where does their teaching lead you? Well, it leads to being cut down. It leads to being thrown into the fire. This is a dangerous thing. There is the destination of false teachers that makes it a dangerous thing to listen to them. So friends, Jesus says to us this morning, watch out. Watch out for false teachers. Listen carefully to what people are saying. Even here, listen to what I'm saying. Make sure it matches with what Jesus is saying. When you're in a Bible study group with people, make sure that what people are saying matches with what Jesus is saying. Because false teachers are deceptive and they are dangerous, offering us a message that is counter to the one that Jesus proclaims in this sermon. And as you're listening in, well, what might that sound like today? Well, it could be something as easy as this. They're just simply offering you an easier way to do the Christian life. It could be a kind of a flavor of Christianity where you say, yeah, you can have Jesus, but you can do all those things that Jesus says you can't do. Don't worry about them. Actually, he'll forgive you for them. Just follow Jesus. You see, that's an easier type of Christianity, but that's false teaching. Or perhaps people are kind of saying, well, you know, you can do this and we can find a way where we won't stick out quite so much as Christians. Let's just keep a low profile. Actually, Jesus says you don't do that. Light, salt. Remember all the stuff at the beginning of the sermon? So how do we recognize a false teacher? What are we looking for? Well, look at verse 16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? What's the answer to that question? No, that's right. It's a rhetorical question. Of course you don't. And then look again, you see, at verse 20. Thus, by their fruit, Jesus says, you will recognize them. You see, by their fruit is Jesus' way of saying, by their way of life, you will identify whether people are false teachers. See, if you're walking through a field, so we've already walked through a field this morning with a sheep, but now if you're walking through a field, you've seen the sheep, they're all grazing away, and then you see a tree, and the tree has apples on it. What does it tell you about that tree? It's an apple tree, right? And then you walk down, I don't know if oranges grow on trees, they probably do, don't they? That shows my ignorance. Yeah, that's good, I'm getting the thumbs up from the balcony. That's good. So oranges grow on trees, right? And then there they are, you see oranges on this tree. And so what do you think? It's an orange tree. And see, just that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You see, look at what he goes on to say in verse 16 to 18. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So as you watch someone's life and you see the fruit of their lifestyle and their choices and the way they do parenting and the way they kind of spend their money and the way they live in relationship to others, as you see this tree and all the fruit growing on it, you will identify who they are. Are they a false teacher or a true teacher? Are they a good tree or are they a bad tree? See, look how he goes on. By their fruit, verse 16, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You can't hide it. You know, an apple tree can't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to disguise myself today and grow oranges instead. Now, an apple tree will always grow apples because it's an apple tree. And Jesus is saying that a false teacher cannot grow good fruit because they're not walking the narrow way. They're not trusting Jesus. You can't hide it. You see, like those shoes that we bought, once we'd had them for a while, once we'd had them in the house, once Emma had worn them around, once we'd kind of tested it a little bit, it was then that they gave themselves away. Couldn't hide it for long. And so too with false teachers. One writer puts it like this. Profession is easy. It's easy to walk around and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's what he's saying. He says, and even Christian behavior can be counterfeited. You know, you can act Christian. You can pretend Christian in certain settings. Even that can be counterfeited. But what a man or a woman really is will inevitably show itself by the way that he lives or she lives. Jesus compares two trees, a good tree and a bad tree. One grows good fruit, one grows bad fruit. And just as Jesus is the example of the true prophet, so too Jesus is the example of the good tree. You see, as you listen in to these teachings of Jesus, and if you were to go away and read these life accounts of Jesus, what would you find? Here is a man whose message and whose life matched perfectly. Here is a man, a teacher, whose life grew good fruit. You listen to him. You watch him. You watch how he interacted with people. You see his love and his care and his attention. You see his willingness to go to the cross for us. Jesus is a good tree. Jesus is a true prophet, and we should listen to him. The disciples who wrote down many of the things that we have in the New Testament, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, those men were good trees. They had a life and a doctrine that matched. And so we can listen to them. By their fruit, Jesus says, you will recognize them. And the same is true today. False teachers can be known. False teachers can be identified and they can be recognized by their fruit. So friends, disciples, crowds, watch out. Watch out for false prophets. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. Doesn't mean that after church today, we need to go around heresy hunting in everybody and trying to sift out kind of the false teachers. Now, Jesus says that we shouldn't be judgmental. Of course, we're going to have those bearings of bad fruit in our life. That's not what he's trying to do. He's not trying to get us to be out for one another's blood here. But we do, friends, need to be on high alert for those who would steer us away from the narrow path and move us towards the broad path, who would teach us something that is different to the gospel of God's grace, of trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, of relying upon him for our salvation, for our place in eternity. Care is needed who we listen to. And I was just trying to connect this week, and I'm wondering perhaps, I know not everyone will be kind of massively users of the internet here, but my mind this week turned to the internet quite a lot. Because the internet, for many of us, is an absolutely fantastic resource. We can listen to more sermons, more preachers, more teachers. We can listen to more music and more churches than we ever have ever done in the past. And I want to say that's a great thing. Except when we listen to Jesus, it's also something we've got to be on high alert to as we're listening around on the internet. Be careful that we're not listening to people who are going to be leading us astray. Be careful that the dominant voices that perhaps get a lot of airtime on the internet or a lot of airtime on Christian radio are just because they're flashy and they've got a big voice on a big platform, doesn't mean they're going to be teaching you what's right. So be careful. If you spend a lot of time here listening and sifting through internet stuff, be careful who you're listening to. See, one of the things that Jesus particularly set up, you know, the reason he didn't set up an internet church to start with was because actually there's something about living together, isn't there? There's something about knowing those who teach you. See, lots of the guys you listen to online, you have no idea the fruit of their lives, do we? You know, some of the guys I listen to perhaps online, I have no idea what their lives are. I don't know if their fruit of their lives is this, because you're not near them. And I think all I would say is, as we try and apply what Jesus is saying, maybe the internet is one of the ways we need to think about. Watch out for false teachers. They're deceptive. And they're dangerous. So don't be led astray by them. Second thing we're to watch out for is this. Disciple, watch out for making false professions. What I mean by that is a profession of faith. Someone who says, yeah, I'm a Christian. Watch out for making false professions. Britain's Got Talent started last night. I can see that most of you are enthralled by this thing. It's a bit of a Marmite thing, Britain's Got Talent, isn't it? You either love it or you hate it. I'd confess that as a family we love it, although I think it's getting a bit more dodgy. Like I think last night we had to turn over the first three acts, I think, from last night. But it's one of those things that it's the program, you either love it or you hate it. But it's one of those typical programs where you get the person who's interviewed before they go up on the platform. And, you know, you get this big story of their lives and, you know, they kind of, oh, this person, they've lived here and they've done this and they've trained this. And then they get an interview and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be the best singer in this competition. I'm absolutely sure this is my year to win it. And you get all this video, you get all this talk, and you're quite excited. And then the person goes out onto the stage, and they are awful. You know, they kind of sing something, and everyone's like wincing and over their ears. But it highlights a big thing, doesn't it? It's one thing to say something. I'm the best. This is what I'm coming from my lips. And it's another thing to do it or to be it. And friends, that is what Jesus is warning about here. As he speaks to disciples and the crowds, he says there is a huge difference between what we say and what we do, what we say we are and who we are. See, just look at verse 21. I think this is really cutting. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It is one thing, friends, to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, you're in charge, you're my Savior, you are the one I follow. It is one thing to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, but it is another thing to live with him as Lord. Do you live with him as Lord? You know, we gather on a Sunday like this and we sing songs and we say to Jesus, Lord, Lord. But do we live with him as Lord? See, that's what it means to do the will of our Heavenly Father. That's how he describes it. The will of the Father who sent his Son into this world to die on a cross for our sins and to teach us what it means to be a disciple, to live in this royal family. Do you live with him as Lord by listening to him and obeying him? To be true disciples heading for the kingdom of heaven means to be those who in increasing ways have a life and a belief that match, who have words of Lord, Lord, and a life that matches them. See, being a Christian, and I know many of you will know this, but it's good that Jesus reminds us of it. Being a Christian is more than just rocking up on a Sunday. Being a Christian is more than just coming along and singing a few songs enthusiastically on a Sunday. Being a Christian is more than just saying to other people you're a Christian. Being a Christian is more than ticking on a census data that I am a Christian. Being a Christian means professing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, but it also means learning, the life of learning to live with Jesus as Lord. See, just as a false prophet can be seen by their fruit, actually a true profession of faith, a true disciple can be seen by the fruit of their lives, the fruit of obedience. It's the fruit of being those, as if we were to go back through Matthew 5 to 7, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the fruit of being those who are poor in spirit, the fruit of those who mourn over sin, the fruit of those who are seeking to do things for God's eyes and not others' eyes, the fruit of those who aren't judgmental of each other because we're all relying on the same Lord, the fruit of being people who depend on our Father. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You see, a profession of faith is needed to become a Christian. You see, you cannot be a Christian unless you first say to Jesus, Lord, Lord. Just think about Romans 10, another part of the New Testament. This is what it says. Listen carefully. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Profession is absolutely necessary. You cannot be in heaven's family without first saying, Jesus, you are Lord, you are God, you are my Savior. But actually, it doesn't end there. The Christian life, the disciple's life, starts with saying to Jesus, Lord, Lord. It starts there. And I'd want to say to some of you this morning, have you started there? Have you said to Jesus, Lord, Lord? But actually, it continues from there with saying to Jesus, Lord, Lord, and then seeking to live with him as Lord. See, just look with me at verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? See, Jesus lifts his eye to what he calls that day. It's a day the Bible speaks of when the Lord Jesus will come again and he will judge the secrets of men's hearts and he will judge whether we have trusted him and walked the narrow way or whether we have decided to go the broad road because it's much easier. And on that day, he will say to people, when he comes to judge, he will say to people, hey, listen, you may have got really busy in my name, but I didn't know you. You see, that's the shock, isn't it, of these things? People will say to Jesus, Jesus, we were really busy for you. And there were some fireworks. You know, there's a bit of prophecy going on. There's a bit of exorcism going on. There's a bit of miracle working going on. And hey, that's stuff that draws a crowd, isn't it? But look at verse 23. Here is the shock. Even with all the spectacular of being busy in Jesus' name, look what he says. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. People that are busy in Jesus' name, even people that are busy performing some fireworks in Jesus' name of exorcisms and miracles, he sends them away. Are you shocked by that? Why? Verse 23. Because he didn't know them. They didn't know him and he didn't know them. See, what counts to Jesus is not the fireworks, it's not your ministry, it's whether you know him. It's whether that you have got an intimacy of relationship with him, whether you're bothering to listen to him and try and apply what he says into your life. You see, there's a warning here to us, isn't there? Profession alone is not enough. Being busy in his name is not enough. Doing special things in his name is not enough. No, what counts is whether you know Jesus, whether there is an intimacy of relationship with Jesus and your personal obedience to him. That's the shock of these verses, isn't it? So friends, watch out. Watch out if you're here today. We need to hear these warnings of Jesus. This isn't meant to kind of make us all walk out of here and think, oh, maybe I'm not a Christian. But these words of Jesus are meant to make us think, am I someone who's in danger of worshiping God with my lips but not with my life? Am I in danger of sitting here on a Sunday and singing, Lord, Lord, I love you, but then I walk out on a Monday and I live how I want. I live with me as Lord. Watch out, Jesus says. Be on alert, looking over your shoulder for making false professions of faith, because it ends badly. It ends with followers not being where they would hope to be. Verse 23, away from me, away from me. So disciple, this morning, as Jesus kind of comes in to land on his sermon, he says, be alert, watch out. Be looking over your shoulder. First of all, watch out for false teachers. Watch out for those who are deceptive and dangerous, because they will lead you astray. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And just as that is a test that you can apply to a false teacher, it is also tests we can apply to ourselves. And watch out for a false profession of faith. Watch out. Let's pray, friends, as we leave here today, that Jesus keeps us as a church family. Let's forget about what's going on out there, that he keeps us from being people who say, Lord, Lord, but don't live it. Who say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus, but don't seek to walk out of this room and be personally obedient to the things that Jesus has commanded us to do. Friends, let's watch out. Watch out for false prophets and watch out for false teachers. Because of cross professions, because they lead us in wrong directions. Let's pray together about that, and then we'll sing as we finish. Our God and our Father in heaven, as we listen to these teachings of Jesus this morning, they do expose to us our many weaknesses and sins. Father, please would you keep us as a church family from false teaching, from drifting away from the teachings of Jesus, who encourages us to walk the narrow way, who talks to us about how we enter the kingdom of heaven and how we live as part of that kingdom. Father, please would we be alert to the false teaching that exists in our world and our community. Father, please help us to be those who refuse to listen. And Heavenly Father, we also want to be those who do not worship you only with our lips, but with our lives as well. Father, please keep us from thinking that our words alone and our busyness for you in ministry is what will mean we enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we want to know Jesus. Father, we want to be those at the end of time who Jesus says, I do know you, because we've devoted ourselves to knowing him and to listening to his words. Oh, Father, please, would you help us to listen to these warnings of Jesus today. May they affect the way we live this week. May we be people looking over our shoulders for these dangers. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.